Let's head down to Florida now, where I'm sure it's a heck of a lot warmer than it is at least here in Lima, Ohio. And let's talk with Adam Silverstein. Adam is the owner and administrator for OnlyGators.com. Only Gators, get out alive. Adam, how are you today, bud?
Doing well, but it's not that much warmer down here. You'd be a little surprised.
I was actually reading on ESPN earlier today about Bobby Bowden going through the last practice, and they said it was a nice chill had moved through North Florida today.
That's right. Little jacket weather, but us Floridians, we get a little testy when it gets cold.
Oh, I can only imagine. I was watching Miami last night a little bit in the bowl game against Wisconsin, and 60 degrees, and those boys had heaters. I could tell they were a little bit out of their element.
Not a doubt. And, the Wisconsin contingent was pretty strong at the game, so I think they were thinking they'd get a little more home field advantage than they actually received.
Well, let's switch gears and let's do a little bit of foreshadowing coming up on Friday night, the Sugar Bowl from New Orleans, as the Gators will take on the Cincinnati Bearcats. Cincinnati's only 2 hours from here. You know, where Lima is, and where a lot of the bigger cities, we're pretty much we're in good geographic proximity. And the Bearcats have developed quite a reputation, not just in the state, but getting a following as well around the country for the undefeated season that they put together. But obviously losing their coach and Brian Kelly moving on to Notre Dame, and then the developments this week with Urban Meyer as well, which we'll get into coming up. Obviously, this game has a lot of superlatives around it, doesn't it?
No doubt about it. And just to touch on what you said about Brian Kelly, a few years back when the University of Florida fired Ron Zook they fired him in the middle of the season, but he stayed on, didn't coach the bowl game. Charlie Strong actually took over. And the Gators in Miami that year, they completely floundered. So I'm not saying that's going to happen in Cincinnati whatsoever. I'm just saying that losing your coach before a bowl game, having to deal with new people leading you, perhaps they have a different way of calling plays or running the defense, it can have a major impact.
Well, I know that Jeff Quinn, who was named the interim head coach and is the offensive coordinator, is going to be the coach. Butch Jones is, basically Butch is going to be in a box. He might be in with the coaches. They haven't really said anything about that yet. But Quinn will be calling the shots in the game, and as soon as he's done, he's off to Buffalo because he's their new head football coach.
Exactly. I mean, just to even have to deal with that on top of that entire situation is very difficult. On Florida's perspective, Charlie Strong will be leaving right after the game and heading to Louisville. But, Charlie's been coaching there for, the last handful of years. I believe it's almost 7 or 8 consecutive seasons. And, he has them going pretty strong. So I think there's a little bit of a switch over on both ends. You also have Steve Adazio, who's going to become the interim head coach, at least temporarily, after the bowl game. So I think there's a lot of flux on both coaching staffs, and it's going to be very interesting.
Well, the other move as well that was made, at least on the Gators coaching staff, Billy Gonzalez, the receivers coach, left, went to become the passing coordinator at Louisiana State. And ironically, Butch Jones, associate head coach and wide receivers coach at Central Michigan, Zach Azani, is now on the staff with the Gators, and he starts right away. His first game is with the Gators against Cincinnati.
He does, and from what I understand, there's not that much of a difference between what Billy Gonzalez was doing and what Zach's going to bring into the program. They both like to run open offenses, like to spread the ball around the field. And if you look at his wide receivers up at the Chippewas, they all had career years. I think he had 2 1,000-yard receivers. So if anything, it should help. But it's going to be a little bit difficult for those guys to have to deal with a new position coach, just 3 weeks before a bowl game.
Obviously, the Gators wish they were playing for the national title. That is not the case, as they were defeated by Alabama. What's the mood been like in the Gainesville area since that game? And then obviously the announcement the next day that they would be going to New Orleans to play in the Sugar Bowl.
You would think that any major program going to a BCS bowl game should be amped up, excited, and enthused. In actuality, the mood was rather somber in Gainesville. When you start the season ranked number one, you go through 12 consecutive weeks with that ranking, and granted the Gators did not dominate opponents every week, and in fact they struggled a little bit, but you get through the season and you go into the SEC championship game against a team that you beat just the previous year, you almost feel a sense of entitlement. I think that, that may have caused them not to come out as strong as, all their fans would have hoped they did in the game. They obviously lost, and a season that was completely built around Tim Tebow being the greatest player ever, Urban Meyer winning his third national championship in four seasons, and the Gators proving to be the dominant team in the country, showed a major weakness, and they have to settle for, quote-unquote, a second-rate BCS bowl game.
Now the loss of Carlos Dunlap for that game, and now he'll be playing. Now Dunlap has been cleared to play. He's met all the requirements to be reinstated to the team. Do you think that hurt the team more than they let on as well?
There's no doubt about it. I think not just defensively playing in the game, but morale. Dunlap is a good kid. Throughout his 3 years at Florida thus far, really hadn't had any previous problems, was close with a lot of guys on the defense, especially on the front seven, the defensive line, and the linebackers. And losing Dunlap was a blow. I think the team rallied around him. You know, they understood that people make stupid mistakes. His was exceptionally stupid. And everything I've heard is he's coming back. He's working his tail off. He's a man on a mission. And everyone, including defensive line coach Dan McCartney, expects him to have a superb game.
Let's talk. We're talking with Adam Silverstein from OnlyGators.com. Adam is the owner and administrator of the site. It's a blog site. Adam talks about the Gators and, of course, the SEC and whatnot. And only Gators get out alive is the big tagline there on the website. And your site has received quite a bit of notoriety here in the last week or so, especially with everything that has gone on with Urban Meyer. The decision to resign the following day, he says, instead, I'm going to take a leave of absence. What is the Gator Nation, what has their thought process been through the ordeal that went on, you know, last weekend and into the first part of this week?
First off, let me say thank you very much for the kind words about the site. It has been going very well. Been open since October 1st, and we're very happy with how things have been progressing. We're about to eclipse the quarter million page view mark in a three-month period. Now, based on that question, actually, we had a poll on the site basically asking, now that Urban Meyer has decided to take the leave rather than simply resign, how do you feel? We have almost 400 votes right now, and basically 75% of Gator Nation, they're happy he's back. They expect him to come back soon. They're ready to get him going and pretty much cast off what he said previously. 17% believes it puts the program in limbo, and that's kind of where I fall in at the same time. You have recruits questioning whether or not they want to come to Florida. Urban was building potentially the number one class in the country, multiple five-star recruits, a ton of four-star recruits, and a few threes sprinkled in there as well. In addition to the entire recruiting situation, you have all the players who are deciding whether or not to declare for the NFL draft. You know, with CBA and all the stuff going on with the NFL, they're already having a tough enough time trying to decide. Now their head coach, who is the guy they committed to the program to play under, may not be there anymore. And then you have the rest, I think it's approximately 8%, that totally believe Urban made the wrong decision, think he should only worry about his health, his family, and his faith, and hang up at least temporarily. So everyone's split. Obviously, you have the majority who care mostly about the product on the field and want Urban there, but there's definitely opinions both ways.
Adam Silverstein from OnlyGators.com. Adam, will you be making the trip over to New Orleans?
I won't. Had a conflict with a little New Year's Eve gathering, so won't be able to go up. On the same note, wasn't planning to go to the national championship game had we made it anyway, so I'm not one of those fans who's, you know, in limbo as far as the ticket sales go. Actually, Florida has about 4,000 tickets that have gone unsold for the game, which is rather strange when you're dealing with Gator Nation. Normally we are, or I say we, but Gator Nation is the, you know, we're talking about away tickets and selling tickets. They sell out immediately.
Right.
So the fact that there's so many tickets available for such a big game, it really proves how somber and depressed the entire fan base was expecting a national championship game.
And you mentioned that because I asked you that question because I had read the numbers and I had seen that it was approximately 4,000 tickets that were still available, you know, that the Florida fans could have jumped on, but yet to do so. Obviously, there will be a strong contingent in New Orleans. Cincinnati sold out their tickets in like 68 minutes or something like that. It was some ridiculous number. But both these teams come in, they run wide open offenses, and, you know, obviously the year that Cincinnati has put together and the job that Tony Pike has done, and even when he missed games, the Zach Caleros came in, his backup, and did a wonderful job as well for Cincinnati. What is the thoughts on the Bearcats and Gator Nation?
Well, there's absolutely no question that Cincinnati's offense is, it's spectacular, and even seeing what they did in the fourth quarter against Pittsburgh was just outstanding. Pike, if he needs to, if he wants to be successful, he actually needs to overthrow the Gators' coverage. He needs to get his receivers so far downfield that they can use their speed to outrun any protection packages that the Gators are using. The issue when it comes to that is Joe Hayden. He's a junior cornerback for Florida, widely considered to be the best cornerback coming out for the NFL draft. And the two best receivers Hayden has faced this year were Julio Jones at Alabama and A.J. Green at Georgia. Jones was limited to two receptions for 28 yards. Green, three for 50 yards. He shuts people down. Now, Marty Gilliard, some could argue, he's better than both of them. I think that's a little bit of a tough argument, especially when you're talking about Jones. But Gilliard is going to need to be on the slant routes, getting away from Hayden if he wants to catch the ball and make some plays. Otherwise, I think there's a very strong chance that the other peripheral receivers are going to have to be the ones who make the plays.
Well, I was talking with somebody last week, and we were talking about this game in particular. And, you know, obviously being here in Ohio, we've seen Cincinnati a lot, you know, with the coverage, you know, through ABC with their regional. If they're not showing Ohio State, they've been showing Cincinnati and, right. You know, and the like. And I said, I made this comment. I said, point blank, I said, if Marty Gilliard has not played a secondary like he has played, like he's going to play in this bowl game, there's no secondary like this in the Big East.
That's true. The fact of the matter is, and obviously I do have a little bias because I cover them every single week, but it's my opinion that Florida has the best secondary in the nation. You know, not only do you have Joe Hayden, you have Janoris Jenkins, four-star recruit on the other side, bunch of four-star and five-star recruits, safeties. You have Will Hill, huge, unbelievable tackler, Ahmad Black and Major Wright, two guys who are also considering going into the NFL. And from everything I've heard, Cincinnati's coordinators and coaches, they've admitted this, that it's the toughest secondary they're going to face, and they're really not sure how they're going to combat it and go after it. That being said, there's a possibility that they have an off game. And I'm not saying that they're going to completely shut down Cincinnati's offense. I do expect the Bearcats to score plenty of points. But I think they're going to come sparingly, and they're going to have to take their shots. And when they get their shots, they have to complete the passes and move the chains.
All right, Adam Silverstein joining us from OnlyGators.com, previewing the Sugar Bowl, also talking with us about the whole Urban Meyer situation as well. Adam, we're up against a break. We thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule to join us on the program. And we start talking to you, it starts snowing. If you want, we can ship some of it down your way if you want, buddy.
I'd appreciate that very much. Listen, it was a pleasure to talk to you and your listeners. Hope all of you have a very happy NFC 2010.
All right, bud, take care. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
Hey, no problem. Adam Silverstein from OnlyGators.com. Check out the website. There's some good informative stuff on there. And obviously it does have a pro-Florida, University of Florida balance to it. But all in all, it's still some good reading, especially if you're a football junkie. 6 minutes left in the second quarter. Exactly. BG by a touchdown, 14-7 over Idaho. We're up against a timeout here on the program. When we come back, we'll talk pro wrestling with Dusty Dillinger as War Wrestling returns to town on January 16th. It's Sports Talk with Koza. Matthews, in for the Koz on Sports Radio 93.1 The Fan.